Well, today we start a series on emotions, and I don't know how long it will take to get through it all. It'll take several weeks, and then I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, and so it'll take even longer. So let's talk about emotions. Emotions are important to most of us. All theology is?
Relational.
That's right. You guys are really getting that. That's good. You're probably getting tired of hearing me say it, too. But you have heard me say it a lot, and that's because it's true, and it's because it's the foundation for our understanding God and ourselves and our interaction with others. And really, in fact, the more you think about it, the more you put that into your agenda in discovering theology, the more it makes sense over and over again. So knowing that all theology is relational leads us to have that first place to consider ideas when we come to them, almost like a philosophical base. So when we begin a discussion on emotions, we cannot forget the relational aspect of them. Really, I mean, we think you can't separate your emotions from relationship. Because if all theology is relational, your emotions are a very important part of relationships. To not appreciate emotions from a relational point of view will keep us from understanding them fully. And from understanding their place in our lives. God created us for relationship, so He gave us emotions for relationship. That's why you have emotions. Now, of course, the fall. You know, when I say the fall, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the horrible time of year where summer's over. I'm talking about the fall, man. I'm talking about when Adam and Eve sinned. And really, when I think of the fall, and when I say the fall, there's really another thing in mind. The element of the fall. What is the crucial element of the fall? What happens at the fall when Adam and Eve sinned? What is it?
They decide to go by their own.
They choose their own value system. So when I say the fall, really I'm talking about our sinful value systems. So the fall, our sinful value systems, causes us to use our emotions for relationally destructive purposes. So to keep us from using our emotions negatively, we have to think about them and focus our attention on using our emotions to strengthen relationships. That's what they're there for. They're there to enhance your relationships. However, because of our sinful value systems, we use them to destroy our relationships. So emotions tell us what? Remember this one? Emotions tell us what's important to us. You've heard me say that a lot too. Let me now elaborate on that and make it a little more clear. By saying what's important to us, I mean they reveal our desires. So emotions reveal your heart's desires. Now, we're all motivated by the things that we desire. We all, in fact, do what we desire. And you'll say, no, I don't. And I will say, yes, you do. I thoroughly believe that. You have conflicting desires within you. You have a desire to do this and a desire to do that, and sometimes they're not the same thing, but the one that you do is the one that you desire the most. You may say, I want to do this, but then you do the other thing instead. But, you know, that's just smoke. There is some desire keeping you from doing the first one and making you do the second one. For example, you might really want to steal a car. And you all say, none of us want to steal a car. All right. Think of something else to put in its place. But I'm using this as an example. You might really want to steal that car, but you have some other desires in play, right, that keep you from stealing the car. Fear of prison, for example. Right? So I'm showing you have two desires at play. You may have a desire for one thing in your life, but you have another desire in your life that keeps that first one at bay. So all the desires in your life are in check by some other desire. So that's why I say you will live by your desires. You might not live by all your desires at the same time, but you will live by the more powerful one. In the end, a person is still driven by the desires. It's just a matter of which desires are the strongest at the moment. It's the conflicting desires that make it difficult for us to discern fully what our full desires are. And that's why we need to study our emotions and understand them deeply. Then we will know what drives us, what is important to us, what our desires are. Once we understand that, we'll be more able to have good relationships because our emotions will be understood and hopefully controlled. We will also be able to see our desires and hopefully change them where our desires flow from a sinful value system. We need to learn God's desires, His value system, right? His value system is? God's value system is?
Sacrificial
love for the benefit of others. That's the basis for having emotions like God's emotions. You see, if you have God's value system, you will have God's desires, and then you will have God's emotions. If you have sinful value system, you will have the wrong desires, and it will lead to the wrong emotions. Desires flow from value systems. To have desires like God's, you must have a value system like God's. Very simple. So, your destructive emotions come from your sinful value systems. See how this all fits together? Isn't that simple? You'll say, man, that's too simple. You're making stuff up. No, it's just simple. Emotions are our reactions to our desires. That's simple. Desires are the things that you want. Sometimes they're so deep down inside you that you can't fully consciously actually look at them. But emotions, think of them at the tip of the iceberg. The part that you can see. You can't see everything in your heart clearly, but you can see the emotions on the top. The parts sticking up out of the water. The visible part of the invisible parts of your heart. Everything flows out of the heart. Perhaps the heart could perhaps best be described as your value system and the desires that flow out of it. That really is what drives your will and emotions. Theologians speak of the mind, the will, and the emotions. But really what puts the whole package together is your value system. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, all three of them come and flow out of your value system. The value system is really the root part. It's what drives the whole person. So to understand emotions, we have to understand two things. One, understand value systems. And two, we have to understand desires, because emotions flow out of those two things. So what are a few major areas of desire? We just, with a very broad brush, paint some general areas of desire, we'd come up with a few things. The desire for pleasure in its myriad forms, the desire for power, desire for wealth or money, and then there's another one, desire for reputation, what people think of you. And that includes the aspect of you pleasing God. So it really goes in there, how you want God to think of you. Those are four great big broad areas. There might be some more, but those are some of the biggest ones that the Bible speaks of. And so when you think about your desires, it's a mix. Every situation in life is some mix of those elements. To put it in the words of the prophets, it'd be blessing and cursing. Do I get pleasure or pain, blessing or cursing, weal or woe? Out of these, you know, wheel or woe, you're all saying, what? Don't worry, that's Old Testament language. Anyway, that's what I'm talking about here. The benefits and drawbacks of each of your desires, and they're all being measured against each other. So your value system, though, in the end, determines how you evaluate those things. For example, if your value system elevates pleasure over reputation, then you will do things that lead to gaining pleasure, regardless of what people think of it. If your value system elevates money over reputation, it'll lead to other kinds of behaviors. If your value system elevates power more than love for others, it will affect your treatment of other people. See, really, it's your value system that controls your desires. So for the whole mix of our desires, they all flow from what you value, what is most valuable in your system of ethics. Let me show you a few Bible passages that speak to this whole thing. What's interesting is you begin to look at these concepts, how they flow together. You'll see each of these passages I'm going to refer to all express the same idea. And you've probably never heard of all of this stuff flowing out of your value system, desires and stuff before, in terms of that I'm saying it this morning. I haven't heard it explained this way, at least I don't remember it. And so let me show you in each of these passages how it's there. James 1, 14 and 15. All of these are very common passages. You've heard of James 1, 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. So we have the concept of desire there. That's very simple. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. We very common. We talked about this one many times. Temptation comes from where? From the desires within you. Yes. And the sin is what? Sin is your... The essence of sin is what?
Your own value system.
All right, and so in the end it brings death. What is death? Death is?
Separation.
Separation, it's what? Loss of relationship. Theologically, that's what that's what death is. It's loss of relationship. So when in the Garden of Eden, when God says, the moment you eat of this fruit, you will die. They did die. They lost their relationship with God. They lost their relationship with each other. That's what death is. Physical death in this life brings another kind of loss of relationship. So that's what death is. When we speak of death, primarily that's what it is. When we speak of eternal death, which is hell, it's permanent loss of relationship with other people and with God. So it's so horrible. That's what's so horrible about what hell is. Because if you were created for relationship, to be permanently cut off from relationship, isn't it the worst thing that could happen to you? It's the ultimate of never experiencing again what you were created for. Never really thought of hell that way before in quite all the elements. But see, again, when you start thinking of relationship as being the fundamental basis for theology, everything else starts to make sense. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. We've looked at this a lot of times too. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Anybody have quarrels and fights with other people? Go ahead, stick your hands up. Don't be ashamed. You should all be ashamed of yourself. Yes. What does he say? Is this not that your passions, in other words, your desires, are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So what's he saying? He's saying, first of all, this. He's saying interpersonal conflict comes from not getting your own desires. But where do those desires, these wrong desires, come from? He tells you. The wrong desires come from your own value system. He puts it in these words, that you're not loving God, you're loving yourself. You want to spend these on your own self. That's why they weren't receiving. They were wanting to spend it on themselves. They want to use it for their own desires out of their wrong value system. So these false desires, these wrong desires, they come out of a worldly value system rather than God's value system. See, that's the whole thing. The value system drives the desires, which then leads to interpersonal conflict with other people, which affects your emotions. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Again, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What would be another way of saying that?
Don't have the world's value system.
If you love God, you will have his value system, right? But we've talked about that. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? To adopt his value system. So if you don't love God, if you're not having a relationship with God, you're not adopting his value system, you're adopting your own value system or the value system of the world. So that's the basis there. For all that's in the world, now look at the things that come out of the world, out of the world's value system. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions. It's not from the Father, but from the world. It's not the Father's value system, but the world's value system. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So these areas of sinful desires, they come out of the sinful value system. The root is the value system, out of which flows the desires. So, in order to have God's desires, you must have God's value system. That's right. Romans chapter 1, which we read on Thursday night, verses 18 to 32, speaks of the same issue. Yeah?
I was just wondering, were you going to speak of temptation of Jesus? Because this is really interesting. Those three things here, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and both the pride of life, they line up with the three temptations of Jesus, where the devil was asking Jesus to choose a non-godly value system.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's the same temptations that happen in the garden. It's always these same things over and over again. So when I first mentioned these, you know, love of pleasure, love of power, wealth, reputation, these same kind of elements over and over and over again throughout the Scripture. It's the same thing. Because, hey, we're all the same. So when the Scripture describes one of us as sinning or sinful and shows the sinful part of one of our hearts, guess what? It's showing all of us. The way you most understand other people is understand yourself very well. So in Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, you see again the wrath of God is being revealed against this ungodliness. And what we looked at Thursday night as we read this text together, we were seeing value system in the first. It goes in three parts, boom, boom, boom. But if you look at it, the first part speaks of the value system of the people. The second part spoke of the desires that that value system led to. And the third part of the text spoke of what? Spoke of relational failure. Value system leads to desires, which leads to the relationship. If it's God's value system, it leads to God's desires and proper relationship. If it's a sinful value system, it leads to wrong desires and destruction of relationship. Okay, that should all, I guess, not be too new to any of you. But now let's look at emotions, because that's what the series is going to be about. Emotions are extremely important in relationship. So, we tend in relationship, most of us, those who aren't weird, we tend to pursue positive emotions and shy away from negative emotions, right? How many people move toward positive emotions in relationship and shy away from negative emotions in relationship? We all do. That's you're supposed to. You're supposed to. That's normal and healthy. So in our relationships, we want to have positive emotions and we don't want to have negative ones. I mean, who wants to be around somebody that makes them feel horrible? Who wants to be around somebody that you bring out all the wrong emotions in me? You make me angry, sad, frustrated. You make me fearful. Do I want to be around you? No, I want to get as far away from you as I can. However, somebody makes me happy, who do I want to spend time with? Right? That's the way we're made. Why? Because where do you think the positive emotions come from? They come out of right relationship, a value system that's modeled after God. So we learn in our relationships that different people bring out different reactions in us, and we gravitate toward people who make us feel good. And we don't want to be around people who we react negative to emotionally. So you need to think about your actions in terms of relationship as how they affect other people's emotions. When other people around you, when you're interacting with them, what emotions are you bringing out in that other person? If you're bringing out negative reactions in people, then perhaps there's something about you that needs to change. You don't want to be doing something that produces negative emotions in other people, right? Or they won't want to be around you. As I tell my kids, people won't want to play with you. It's simple. In the end, people will learn to avoid you, either in certain areas of life or completely. On the other hand, if people feel good around you, they'll gravitate towards you. They will enjoy you, and more importantly, they will enjoy relationship with you. Now, this is not intended to be manipulative. This is about you being like Christ and having His value system. Don't confuse personality here for sin or for Christ-likeness. I'm not talking about that. Some people's personalities are different than others. Some people's personalities are very different than others. I'm not talking about personality, because it's not the personality of the person that drives other people crazy when they're having a negative reaction to it. What it is, it's their lack of knowing that they're doing something that's bringing a negative emotion out in the other person. That's the problem. If they consider the reactions or their actions, if they consider their actions as an act of love toward another person, they'll be guided to use self-controlling in dealing with others. So if there's something about me that makes everybody around me crazy, like they want to avoid me, they have a negative reaction to me, you think I'd want to change that, right? But the bottom line is, why would I want to change it? Just so people will like me more? No. The bottom line is, I must be doing something out of my value system, out of my desires, out of who I am, that's not just personality related, that's causing a problem in my relationships. Out of love for the other people, I will not drive them crazy. See, it's out of love for you that I won't be that way. The big danger in this is that it's very difficult for us to always know what drives other people crazy, because they don't want to tell us. Right? It's not that I wouldn't change, it's just that I just don't know. But it's so hard to tell other people. things about them that, not being sinful, it's just, it brings out a negative reaction. So let me talk about one other aspect here in terms of relationship. What happens in long-term relationship, in terms of emotions and relationships and desires and value system? Long-term relationships, like husband-wife relationships, parent-child relationships, long-time friends. The more time that you spend with someone, the more opportunities you have for having emotional times with them, right? Just out of just spending more time with them. And in that spending time with the other people, you will have two kinds of emotions with them, right? They will be either positive emotions or they will be negative emotions. Very simple. And there will be some mix in all of these. But over time, it's the positive emotions that bind you together in relationships, and it's the negative emotions that will drive you apart. Some people's relationships become overwhelmed by the negative emotions until there's a complete breakdown in the relationships. Ultimately, that's why relationships break down. The negative emotions ultimately flow out of what, though? Value system. Your desires, which come from your value system. But even when a relationship is relatively good, there's not a lot of conflict because the people share a common value system in most ways. Even in these relationships, sometimes the closeness over time diminishes. Why? It's an emotional element. It's the negative times of emotion. The negative times of emotion. Emotions tell us what? What our desires are. For example, there's a husband and wife. They're talking about something. Right? They're doing their talking thing. Or sometimes one of them's talking, the other person's not reading a newspaper. All right, they're talking together. And one of them is expressing some idea, something that's personal to them, something that's important to them, that flows out of their heart, out of their value system. And it's their desires, some idea, their thoughts, their dreams. And the other person then says something. Either deliberately or in ignorance, when they say that thing, the first person, the person that was opening up their heart, has an emotional reaction of hurt or pain, right? They feel like they've just been stomped on. This painful emotional reaction to that other person. How many people can somehow relate to what I'm talking about here? All right, good. I didn't know if it was just me or this was, or I was getting this right, that this is how human beings are. All right, so that's what I'm talking about. You're expressing some thing that's important to you. It's coming out of your value system, your desires. It means something to you. And the other person, either deliberately because they're mean, or accidentally because they're just ignorant of how this is going to affect you, they say something or they do something. And you know that feeling that you get. That feeling is an emotion that's hooked to your desires, which are connected to your value system. Now, depending on the sensitivity of the person who's hurt, and by the depth of the emotional reaction, there's a choice that's made in that moment. And the person says to themselves, I will not speak of this subject again with this person because it brings me pain. When I tried to talk about this, the reaction that I got in my heart, the emotional reaction was painful. And I'm not going to talk to that person about this again. Now, over time, say the years of marriage, even though there's all the positive reactions, there's also these times of negative emotion. And each time one of these things occurred, over years, that's what I'm talking, long-term relationship, more and more areas of the person's heart become shut away from the other person. More and more walls go up or doors close. I will not share this part. And then life goes on, and then you try some, and then you find out, nope, I can't talk about that either. And after a while, you got a whole heart closed off, maybe both people. See, positive emotions build a relationship. Negative emotions tear it down. And over time, even though there's a very close commonness of a value system, the emotions reveal the desires, reveal what's different in your two value systems. And more the people's heart becomes shut away from each other. The hearts close off. And the accumulation of the negative experiences, they don't necessarily cause a total breakdown in relationship, but they certainly hinder the closeness that people desire in relationship. When we put up walls between us to protect us, when we close doors off in our lives to hide from the other person, both of us lose. The first loses the joy that comes from being open, the thing that they desire in their heart, to be open, to be loved, to share who they are. The other person loses the joy from knowing the other person deeply because they've shown that they can't be trusted. We all desire to be able to speak what's in our hearts and be accepted and loved, but those negative emotions teach us to avoid that. And so we're struggling within, we're torn within. We have the desire to be open and share, and we have the desire to protect ourselves. And whichever desire is stronger, the deeper thing in our value system will win. And over time, the relationship just becomes boring because so much of the other person is hidden from us. What's supposed to happen over time is that we discover more and more of the other person. Every time we have a new experience, we open up who we are in terms of that experience and share who we are. Keeps the relationship alive. We keep on sharing deeply our thoughts and reactions to everything in life, and the relationship grows deeper, more necessary to us. So what's really going on at the root? It's our treatment of the other person that's going wrong. It's the treatment of the other person. That treatment, how we act toward the other person, flows out of our value system. Because the emotions are the tip of the iceberg. The only part of us that we see in the whole mix of our desires, which flow out of the value system at the bottom. Now don't get me wrong here, both people are at fault. Both people are at fault. The one values himself over the other and stomps on the other person's openness, deliberately or not. It's an attitude, though, that comes out, think about it, in terms of relationship, of superiority. It's you saying something and me looking down on it, on what you just said, on who you are. That's why it strikes us so deeply emotionally. When we open up the deepest parts of our heart, we don't want anybody to stomp on it. We don't want anybody to criticize it. We want to be accepted. So the other person values self-protection over openness. In other words, they're valuing self-protection over the relationship. Protecting myself becomes more important than the relationship. Yeah? Or instead of being... instead of continuing to be open or say, that really hurt me, but in spite of that hurt, I'm going to be open anyway. I'm going to continue to pursue that this relationship becomes deeper. But the problem is most of us don't do that. The problem is most of us just say, zip the lip, lock it, throw away the key. That's a subject that I can never talk about with you. The unwillingness to do that hard thing and be open, because it's hard when we feel, when our emotions are telling us to protect ourselves, but we must be sacrificial for the benefit of the relationship. We must risk being opened in spite of the past experiences. We can't close off. We can't hide. We must attempt to talk about how much that hurt. In the short term, it's painful for both people. The one person already experienced the pain, but then they have to do another painful thing and say, I don't want to close this relationship off more, and so I'm going to say something to you right now. What you just said hurt me, and I don't even fully understand maybe why it hurts me. It just hurt me because this particular thing I was sharing was important to me, and you didn't take it as seriously as you should have. And both people in that moment have to do something because they were both wrong. You must come toward the same value system, a value system of loving the other person, loving by sharing and loving by a willingness to love that person who is being revealed in spite of whatever's coming out. Both people need to change their value system, and it's hard for both. I talked about that. But as both people learn to do that, they'll come closer together in value system, and then in desire, and then they will have positive emotions because their value system will be like God's. So, in terms of relationship, we need to have wisdom. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, "The purposes of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And I was thinking of that in terms of relationship with another person. There's so much depth there, so much hidden there. But if we want to have relationship, we have to be wise. We have to have understanding to be able to move closer together in relationship. Love desires to know the person and to accept them without condemnation. Love also desires to be willing to be open and share. That's why we both have to have that love for the other person in terms of communication and value system. Because it's our emotional reaction. Now let me draw this together and finish it. It's our emotional reaction. Those times where you're having those negative emotional reactions in terms of relationship. That is your cue that something very important is going on and you have a choice to make. That will either destroy the relationship slowly over time or immediately in a great explosion, or slowly over time lead to a stronger relationship. The emotion is the part that's only revealing things, but it reveals the desires that are in you. And so when somebody is expressing these deep things in their heart, it's those that feel like they've been crushed, it's because they have a desire to be open. When a person has a desire to be open, you have to respond to that by accepting and loving that other person. Especially in terms of a very close relationship, husband, wife, parent, child, things like this. You know, that other person's not perfect, right? And guess what? You aren't either. That comes as a shock to most of us. But think of your relationship with that other person. In terms of that, when that person opens up and shares a part of you that's not perfect, they know it's not perfect. Or shares some desire that they have, some dream that they have, they know that it's a desire or a dream. Be gentle with that, just as you want somebody to be gentle with that part of you too. Sounds a lot like do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? If you want to be able to grow, to be open and share with the other person, you have to be willing to be open, to be receptive of their openness. Emotions only tell you what's important to you, tell you your desires, but the desire flow with the value system. But the value system that's going to make your relationship strong is the one that is God's. That we love each other enough to be open and to be accepting. And to continue to be open when it hurts and accepting of the criticism when we've said something hurtful. Otherwise, over time, the relationship just break down, fall apart, become boring, just another day. We don't want that. We want relationships that are alive and vibrant, things that look like God's relationships. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you made us for relationship and you give us great joy in relationship. Help us deal with our relational sorrows and use those times to drive us to your value system and to deepen our relationship with you, that we will glorify you in all the areas of our life, but especially in the close relationships, the parts of our lives that are intended to mirror your father-son relationship. Help us do this by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.